Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, we're going to consider more prayers to the Creator today. You found quite a few in the Psalms. The last one was Psalm 139. Are there still more in the Psalms?
Yes, Scott. In fact, I went back and counted how many Psalms fit our criteria for being a prayer to the Creator. There were 23 Psalms up through Psalm 139. And we've done 30 programs over the period of a year and a half or so, just on prayers to the Creator found in the Psalms.
Mm.
But now, we've come to the last one in the Psalms.
Really? So only one of the last, 150 minus 139, well, the last 11 Psalms is a prayer to the Creator.
Yep. But that's not to say the Lord is only referred to as the Creator once in those final 11 Psalms. In fact, Psalms 143, 146, 47, 48, and 149 all praise the Lord as Creator. But of those, only Psalm 143 is actually a prayer. The others are all calls to worship. So today, we'll look at Psalm 143, the last prayer to the Creator in the Psalms. And if we have time, we might also take a look at one or so of those final Psalms that have so much to say about the Creator.
Okay, so Psalm 143 is our prayer to the Creator for today. How should we start?
Well, let's start with the first verse. Go ahead and read it, Scott.
Psalm 143, a Psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. Answer me in thy faithfulness, in thy righteousness.
So, in the introduction, we're told David wrote this psalm, and then we're immediately informed it's a prayer. In fact, it's a supplication, which we may understand to be a special kind of prayer. Scott, when you hear that word supplication, what do you think of?
I think of it as an almost desperate plea. It describes a request of someone who is in dire straits and in great need.
That's an excellent explanation. It's not just a casual request, as though the person is suggesting that it would be appreciated if the Lord might rescue them whenever he gets around to it. And another detail indicating the earnest nature of the request is the term is plural. In other words, it's a prayer that has been offered multiple times. I think the word desperate is perfect. In each case where the word occurs in the Old Testament, the urgency of the request is apparent. Let's look at a couple of them. In Psalm 28, starting at verse 1, David is obviously desperate. He says, "To thee, O Lord, I call, my rock. Do not be deaf to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to thee for help." And here's another psalm of David in which we hear his dismay. Read Psalm 31, verse 22, Scott.
Okay. "As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou didst hear the voice of my supplications when I cried to thee."
So, here then in Psalm 143, David is again crying out in desperation to the Lord, asking for an answer to his prayer. And as we read on, we get some idea of what has him so alarmed. Let's read verses 2 through 4. "And do not enter into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no man living is righteous.
For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have long been dead.
Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me."
Well, David certainly experienced a lot of pain and hardship from his enemies during his life. But do we know what situation he's referring to in this prayer?
I don't know if we can discern that much detail from what he says. There's nothing mentioning anything specific. You know, like, for example, in the heading of the previous psalm, Psalm 142. In that psalm, it says, "Maskil of David when he was in the cave," a prayer. But there are no such details, as we've already read, in the introduction to Psalm 143. But there are several similarities between the two psalms.
And in verse 3 of Psalm 143, he says he was made to dwell in dark places. That could be a cave.
A good observation, Scott. But in the final analysis, all we know for certain is David is, to use his words, persecuted, crushed, overwhelmed, and appalled. And it's with that mindset he prays for help. And as he prays, what does he think about as he contemplates the one to whom he is praying?
I have a feeling it's that the Lord is the Creator.
That's it. But the way we know David identifies the Lord as the Creator is not by simply calling him the Creator. He cites when and how the Lord did his creative work. It's verse 5, where he says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on thy doings. I muse on the work of thy hands. Now, we might think initially that that first phrase, days of old, would be a specific reference to the days of creation. But even though they may apply to creation, in the many other Old Testament texts where that phrase occurs, the days of old generally refer to when Moses led the Israelites and when they first inhabited the Promised Land. So it's David's reference to the work of thy hands that describes God's creative work for certain. Every place that phrase is used in the Old Testament, and once in the New Testament, where it quotes the Old Testament, the work of thy hands is talking about God creating either the heavens and the earth or man. The first place it occurs is in Job. So Scott, read Job 14:15. In this passage, Job is actually describing the resurrection.
Thou wilt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt long for the work of thy hands. So Job is calling himself the work of the Lord's hands here.
Exactly. And doesn't it make sense that if God created our bodies in the first place, he can recreate them, so to speak, in the resurrection?
Yep.
Then another probably more familiar passage that speaks of the work of God's hands is Psalm 8. David says in Psalm 8, verses 3 through 6, When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained.
What is man that thou dost take thought of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him?
Yet thou hast made him a little lower than God, and dost crown him with glory and majesty.
Thou dost make him to rule over the works of thy hands. So that's pretty cool. David describes the Lord's creative work as the work of thy hands and the work of thy fingers.
Mm-hmm. And unexpectedly, perhaps, it's the creation of the vast expanse of galaxies that he uses just his fingers, as though he were flicking them off into space like water droplets off wet hands after you've washed them. And then the rest of creation, that is the earth and all it contains, are the works of his hands. The parts of creation that the Creator put man in charge of. And continuing to think about this phrase, work of thy hands, I want to look at one more use of the phrase to show that it is a definite reference to creation. It's in Psalm 102, verse 25. Of old thou didst found the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Now, it's very interesting that that verse is quoted in Hebrews chapter 1 as part of the witness to the deity of Jesus Christ, attributing creation to God the Son. But Scott, do you happen to remember the context of Psalm 102? It was a prayer, but not of David.
Yeah, I think so. We studied Psalm 102 as one of the prayers to the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Psalm 102 a prayer of the afflicted?
Excellent, that's right. The heading of Psalm 102 is a prayer of the afflicted when he is faint and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Could we compare that to supplication?
I would say so.
Indeed. In fact, the prayers of Psalm 102 and Psalm 143 both begin with the exact same words, quote unquote, hear my prayer, O Lord. And as the supplicant cries out to God, the thought that the Lord is the Creator brings confidence and assurance that he is surely able to deliver. So we've looked at the first five verses of Psalm 143, but in perhaps somewhat disconnected thoughts. So let's read Psalm 143, verses 1 through 6, to get the overall sense of the first half of David's prayer. It's a natural stopping point there, because verse 6 ends with the admonition, Selah, which means pause and reflect.
Psalm 143, 1, a psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. Answer me in thy faithfulness, in thy righteousness.
And do not enter into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no man living is righteous.
For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have long been dead.
Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me.
I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy doings. I muse on the work of thy hands.
I stretch out my hands to thee. My soul longs for thee as a parched land. Selah. So here we see, in the middle of David's prayer, the advice to pause and reflect.
What I think of is the contrast between the hands of God and David's hands, or my hands, reaching out to the Lord. Our hands are so small and often very weak, unable to help ourselves in any way. But the Lord's hands, they are the pictures of strength and power, able to pluck us out of whatever trouble we're in.
He does have big hands. Yeah, I think of the description of those hands in Isaiah 40. It's verse 12 that says of God's hands, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens by the span, and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, and weighed the mountains in a balance, and the hills in a pair of scales." And so, what's the point of this? When you're desperate, as David put it, if you're overwhelmed, there's a great God, the creator of heaven and earth, whose hands formed the sea and dry land, whose fingers cast the stars in space. He is the one you can go to and stretch out your hands to and make your supplication to. He is more than able to rescue you from whatever trouble you may be in.
Well, Dr. Scripture, we do have a little more time. You mentioned that we might look at one of the psalms that follow Psalm 143 that, even though it's not a prayer, does refer to the Creator. What one would that be?
Well, as I said, there are several, but given what we've discussed in Psalm 143, I think Psalm 146 is the perfect complement and ending to our consideration. It's a wonderful description of the Creator to whom we pray for help. Psalm 146:1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. He thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Thy God, O Zion, to all generations. Hallelujah. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.